Tonight, different families have been involved in different ways in the purpose of a service intent on clearly communicating and going on record that all the ministry of Wooddale Church has been and shall be dedicated to families. As soon as that is said, it perhaps raises a concern that says that maybe if we are committed as we say we are to families, that we are somewhat less committed then to singles, or that we are less committed to the needs of men as men, or women as women, or children as children. And none of that is the point at all, but rather to say that the priority of families is very high in the ministries, in the goals, and in the programs of this church. And so while we will take the better part of a couple of months to make a statement, actually a restatement, of the life and the ministry and the programs of what makes Wooddale Church what it is, we have chosen to begin this Sunday night with a declaration of our commitment to families. Commitment to families in a time when that runs kind of against the trend. We live in a busy and a fractured society where families too often are divided, divided by divorce, divided by the mobility that so characterizes our generation, divided by multiple careers, divided by a plethora of special experiences and interest groups. But we are convinced in the midst of it all that the family unit is still essential and basic, basic to the ministry that we are about and basic to that which God is doing in this society and in our world. So it raises to us a question. What should we do? How should we go about our task as a church family together in our dedication to families? And the answer is pretty straightforward, that we do it by emphasizing specific biblical strategies. And in very brief fashion tonight, I want to share with you four of those strategies. The first is the strategy the belief that strong marriages are the central pillar of strong families. Some may have thought it an unusual thing, and as you realize, it was merely in the course of our ongoing study of Hebrews 13 on Sunday mornings. But the first services in this church were services in which a sermon was preached from Hebrews 13:4. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. A strange topic and title for a first service and a first Sunday in a new building, but central to what we believe and central to what we seek to practice. And so we want to, as a church, go on record here and now, but in all of the things that we do, the publications that we have, the ministries that we proclaim, saying that we are committed to the uplifting and virtue and honor of Christian marriages, that we are committed in all that we are about to helping to make marriages that are honoring and pleasing to God, that we are committed to emphasizing the priority of marriage over other priorities, including the priorities of career, of children, and even of church, that we believe that strong marriages are a godsend, and that it is our responsibility to help to make those marriages stronger still. That we have a commitment together as a church to work and even to fight to preserve disintegrating marriages. People whose marriages have been in the midst of difficulty and have sat with me as a counselor in my study have heard me say many times that I am just about the last person you will ever find to give up hope for any marriage in holding it together. And I think that's where we need to be as a church, that we do not ever take lightly the disintegration of any marriage relationship, that we will pray and that we will give and that we will counsel and that we will encourage, and if need be, we will exhort and we will discipline for months and years and lifetimes for the preservation of marriages, that we will commit in our preaching and in our programming to healthy marriages and seek to prevent problems even more than we seek to solve them. Our strategy is that strong marriages are the central pillar, first, in the making of strong families. A second biblical strategy is that children are to honor father and mother. It's from the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20:12, that we read the familiar words, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord God has given you." As a church, we believe that. So we are committed to train children and adults to honor and to respect their parents, father and mother, even though some parents really aren't particularly worthy of that respect. Even though many families have been divided and father and mother are no longer part of the home. Even though parents may have problems galore, we believe that the ancient commandment given by God through Moses still is binding and still is applicable today. That children are to honor their parents. And so, as a church, we want to go on record near the very beginning of our sharing together in this facility that God has provided to us, saying that we do not approve of sinful rebellion of children against their parents. We want to go on record as saying that we believe that a child must early in life learn to submit to parental authority, and that that is normally the prerequisite to learning to submit to divine authority in life. We want to go on record as saying that we believe that parents, although important and although they ought receive respect, are not the ultimate law, but that God is the ultimate law, and that when in those tragic circumstances it is necessary for children to choose between God and parents, it is with tearful regret that they must always choose to go God's way, but that they will never do it without respect. That we go on record as saying that we believe that the honoring of parents is not just a responsibility of the very young, but it is a responsibility of a lifetime. And even when the children have themselves become parents and grandparents, they have an ongoing responsibility to exhibit and to express that biblical respect for their parents, as old as they may be, as far away as they may move, and even, in fact, if they have gone beyond this life and into eternity, in reference to them and in deference to them, respect must be shown. We say it's a strategy of Scripture that children are to honor fathers and mothers. A third strategy of our dedication to families is that homes are the primary place for spiritual training. Again, it's rooted in the Old Testament, but clearly expressed in the New Testament as well. It was Moses again who wrote in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 7, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Then listen to this. "And you shall teach these words diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." The same idea is in different words as in Ephesians 6:4. "Fathers, parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." What we're saying is that we as a church family recognize that we cannot do the job of Deuteronomy 6 or of Ephesians 6 in a couple of hours on Sunday morning. Even in the combination of a couple of hours on Sunday morning and an hour or so on Sunday night and another hour in the middle of the week. It can't be done in that time frame. And so we say that it is better done and necessarily done in our homes and while driving our cars and while on vacation and while getting the mail and eating the meals and while facing the struggles and while having the parties. All of the circumstances of life are the times in homes and families where characters are built, where lives are shaped, and where children are prepared for adulthood in a way that they will live it to honor Jesus Christ. What does that mean for us? It means that we as a church family are primarily committed to the equipping of parents to do the job of disciplining and nurturing within their families and with their homes. It's saying that all that we are about must encourage that kind of instruction and that kind of discipline in the family context, and that we as a church must never usurp that family role or those family prerogatives, that we are always about the task of equipping parents to shape their children's lives for Jesus Christ, and that we seek to do that by providing all the things that we can, by providing support, for providing programs and instruction and counsel and models, models of families that we can look at about us and to whom we can talk and with whom we can confer, facilities, all the things that are necessary to shape young lives. Yes, just as Susan was saying before, it's marvelous when families commit themselves to sharing in the programs of the church and not missing and giving that a higher priority than a Sunday job or something else that may be seemingly more important at the time. But beyond that, that we are using all of these tools and instruments to enable parents and to enable young lives, that together they may be shaped, and together they may stand for Jesus Christ in the meeting of the responsibilities of adult lives. The strategy is that homes are the primary place for spiritual training, and that we will do our part to support those homes and to equip them to do the job. A fourth strategy, a final one on the list, but the list is incomplete. A fourth strategy is that whole families should be reached with the gospel message. One of the first verses that I ever learned as a child was Acts 16:31. The words that Paul and Silas spoke to the Philippian jailer: "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household." And whenever I have anything to say about it, when our children or the children of this church in Sunday school and club programs learn that verse, they don't cut the tail end off it. They learn it all. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your household. Because the Scripture recognizes, so we recognize, that family units are often what come to salvation. That we are not dealing just with individuals, but we are dealing with individuals in relationship to one another. And so the job of evangelism is incomplete when only a father, or only a mother, or only a son, or a daughter, or a grandparent has come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. So we as a church, at the very beginning of our time, our years and years here in this location, want to renew our commitment to say that we are about the task of reaching whole families for Jesus Christ. That we want families to be together in heaven for eternity, as families. That we are committed to maintaining evangelistic contact with unbelievers in homes where there is a Christian who is associated with this church. And so, when there is a husband who does not know the Savior, we'll maintain contact with him, or a wife, or a child, or a parent. We'll do our part. We'll keep in touch. We'll pray. We will recognize that as one of our highest priorities of evangelism. That we will provide as best we can non-threatening means to maintain those contacts with unsaved family members. And that we will, as best we are able with God's help, faithfully and regularly present the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who do not know the Savior. And beyond that, that we will seek to use the webs of family relationship to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that when one person comes to the Savior, we will pray with the anticipation that that will lead to another person in that family, and then to an extended family, until many are reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our strategy is that whole families should be reached with the gospel message. Now, those four strategies stated, let me also say that we have not arrived. I know that all too well. But we've begun. We've begun as a church. We've begun with things like a premarital seminar so that we seek to make marriages strong even before the couple is legally bound together. We have begun in providing new congregations, even in the last month or so, for young couples, for couples with new children. We have begun in the last year significantly strengthening our staff with full-time pastors to junior high and to senior high and to adults and to children. We've begun in the involvement of parents in youth ministry through a parents' advisory council and increasing parental involvement so that we do not see the youth ministry of the church as something that is done by professionals with youngsters in some distant place, but together as families involved and united in ministry. We've begun in providing facilities and programs that will best enable us to do the job that God has called us to. We've begun in seeking to have leadership in our church who exemplify exactly what is being talked about tonight and the list of biblical qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 that were read last Sunday morning. Families with mothers and fathers and children to whom we can look as people who humbly go before God in the raising of their own children and the living of their own marriage. We have begun with what I believe is a large core of Wooddalers who are deeply dedicated to making families strong for Jesus Christ. But by His grace, we plan to do more. By His grace, we seek to have divine counsel in making families strong for Jesus Christ. Oh, there are plans on the drawing board. There's a series of sermons scheduled for Sundays later this fall, committed specifically to the renewal of marriages, bringing people back together again, telling them how they can fall into love, even if they've fallen out of love, and how they can preserve relationships so they do not go astray. We are already working on a marriage enrichment seminar for next spring. We're talking about expanded facilities, particularly with recreational facilities, to begin next year. We're working on having couples and families spiritual retreats. Our Board of Elders has talked about expanding our counseling ministry so that when families and couples and individuals are in trouble, we can provide for them the best of spiritual counsel. We have begun, but we plan to do far more. And so, for the Lord and for one another, we go on record that we, Wooddale Church, we are dedicated to families for Jesus' sake. Amen.